So this morning we're reading from Matthew 28, starting at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
I'm reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 50 to 57, starting at verse 50. "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Good morning, everybody. A very, very happy Easter to you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. My name is Dave Clancy. I'm the vicar here at Trinity South Christchurch. And wherever you are, whoever you are, it is absolutely wonderful that you can be with us and take part in this online service. I'm delighted that you're with us. Easter Sunday is arguably the most important Sunday in the year for Christians. It's the day on which we remember and we rejoice in an event, the likes of which had never happened before and which has never happened since, an event which changed the world and an event which continues to change individual lives. This Easter Sunday is arguably one of the most unusual any of us have ever experienced, as indeed the whole time that we're living through is one of the most unusual of our lives. COVID-19 has changed the world, and COVID-19 continues to change individual lives. It's introduced fear and distance and isolation and death. Not only on a large scale, but it's done all these things personally for many as we wrestle with all sorts of things, our fear and our anxiety as our worlds spin out of control. We are putting up with and enduring the pain of distance and separation and isolation from others. And each of us has been brought face to face with death, the deaths of thousands upon thousands around the world. And I imagine if we're honest, many of us who have been wise have wrestled with our own mortality. We've considered the risk that this virus is to us and to those around us, and we've asked what I hope is the most important question we can ever ask: what happens to me after I die? It's into that setting, into the setting of COVID-19 and the world in which we find ourselves, that I'd like to spend a few minutes with us reflecting on the first Easter, on the account of the resurrection of Jesus and what it means for us today. What the change that the resurrection brings in means to all the changes, all the issues and the questions that we're facing now. We're going to do that by turning to an account of the first Easter Sunday written by Matthew, one of Jesus' first followers. And what we have here is the testimony of someone who knew Jesus in his life, who saw Jesus after his resurrection, and whose life itself was changed because of that event. You see, as we turn to his gospel, his account of the news about Jesus, Matthew isn't there to report himself what he saw with his own eyes. He speaks on the basis of two eyewitnesses, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who at the dawn on the first day of the week went to look at the tomb. So many of us have noted the quietness of our lives, of our city, less traffic noise, fewer people around. We're getting used to quiet, and so we can begin to imagine the shock of what these two women then experience. Breaking the quietness of that Sunday morning is a violent earthquake as an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven. And going to the tomb, he rolls back the stone, which had been cut out of, which had been placed in front of the tomb, which itself had been cut out of rock. And this angel comes and he sits on the stone. It's the most wonderful detail, which doesn't need to be there, does it? It's something you'd only record if someone who had been there had mentioned it to you. And this earth-shattering angel delivers world-changing news. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." See, the angel states the facts. Jesus was crucified. He had been executed on the Friday just been. He had been placed in that tomb. They'd come to the right place. And yet he is not here. The angel invites the women to come and see this empty tomb. He states the facts, but he also provides the explanation. He has risen just as he said. Now this tomb has been inaccessible to anyone until moments ago, when the stone had been moved by the angel. Now, this is the tomb where Jesus had been laid. Guards were posted by the Roman authorities on the Friday afternoon. We heard that on Good Friday. And we're told at the end of chapter 27 that these guards have been placed there. There's no chance of this being the wrong tomb because the guards are there. And as the chapter continues, after our reading, the guards return to their superiors. They're given money to keep quiet about what has happened. You see, the tomb had contained Jesus' body, and yet now it is a tomb which is empty because its inhabitant has risen from the dead. And these women are given instructions. "Go and tell his disciples," that is Jesus' followers, both go and tell them of his resurrection and go and tell them of their responsibility to go to Galilee in the north of the country, and there they will see Jesus. And so the women obey. In faith, on the basis of the word of this messenger, they believe that Jesus has been raised and they turn to go. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him and they clasped his feet and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." See, the angel states the facts and he provides the explanation. And then Jesus produces the most definitive evidence possible. He appears. Here is the resurrected one. Here is the one who was dead, who was crucified, and he is now alive. And so, having looked at the account that Matthew has written, I'd like us in the rest of our time just to reflect on three things, three aspects of this resurrection and how it might impact us today. Firstly, the resurrection means joy in spite of fear. The resurrection means joy in spite of fear. Did you notice how much fear there was in this account? If you've got your Bibles open, look down and see it again. The guards are so afraid of this angel when he turns up that they shake and they become like dead men. Men don't come out so well in this passage, do they? The professional soldiers, they are paralyzed with fear. The women, not so much. And yet the women are afraid too. They hold it together more than the men. But the angel's first word to the Marys is, "Do not be afraid." As the women hurry away from the tomb, we're told they are afraid. And as they meet Jesus, he tells them, "Do not be afraid." There's lots of fear because times of change and great uncertainty and new things and upheaval, that causes fear. Just like times of uncertainty and great change and upheaval has caused fear in many of us. I imagine that the guards here, they're quite happy to take the money and to keep the story quiet. Can you imagine them having to explain to their friends how they were so scared that they were paralyzed? They became like dead men? Nobody wants to admit that kind of fear, just like we don't like admitting that we're fearful, that we're scared. We don't like admitting it to others, and sometimes we don't even admit it to ourselves. And yet for many of us, this is a time of fear. Fear of contracting the virus, fear of those we love getting it, fear of losing jobs, fear of a recession and all the financial implications, fear of all the changes that this might mean for our world and our country and our city, our family and ourselves. Notice that the resurrection of Jesus doesn't take away our fear, but it offers joy in spite of fear. Did you notice that Mary, they hurry away from the tomb in verse 8, afraid, yet filled with joy? It's like those moments after life-changing good news has been heard. Their joy is growing and expanding within them. For many of us, this life-changing good news has been heard many times. This is not our first Easter Sunday. I invite you today even to experience and lean into that joy that the resurrection brings, joy in spite of fear. Yes, there is fear, but it is joy in spite of fear. For many of us as Christians, we have the privilege of having had time and space to reflect on the implications and the consequences of Jesus' resurrection. That death itself, not just Jesus' death, but death itself. Because of the resurrection, death does not have the final say in this world. The resurrection shows that God can reach in and act in the most horrific of situations. He can use evil for good and bring positive out of negative. The resurrection shows us that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient. It worked. That there is life after death. That it is coming. All these things, they are consequences and implications of the resurrection which we know and in which we rejoice. See, the resurrection means that there is joy in spite of fear. The resurrection also offers restoration in place of isolation. Restoration in place of isolation. In John's account of the resurrection, there is an expanded kind of narrative of Mary, of what she says and what she does on this day. She finds the empty tomb and she says to the angel, "They've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they have put him." Then she goes to one who she thinks is the gardener and she says, "Tell me where you have put him so that I will go and get him." And you hear in her words this deep pain of being apart from the one that she loves. There is so much hardship that we're feeling at the moment, being separated and isolated from those whom we love. We miss people. We miss our friends. We miss our church family. Because we are not meant to be isolated. We have not been made as people to be on our own. And that's the ultimate pain of death, isn't it? That those who die are separated from us. But it's not just isolation from people either. St. Augustine famously wrote that God has made us for himself and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. We were not made to be alone. We were not made to be apart from God. And the resurrection offers the hope of restoration. And we see that in the joy of Mary as they meet Jesus. His death on the cross has enabled this. And while I don't think they yet fully grasp it, he has died for them. He's taken their guilt before God. He's taken their shame and their sin, and he's borne the consequences of it in his body. He has stood in the breach for them. He has sacrificed himself, taking on the just and righteous judgment of God so that we might not endure it. See, he has faced eternal death and he has come through it. He has stood before God's righteous judgment and he has satisfied it. Full and complete and total spiritual isolation is what he has endured, and he has returned from it. And in this fleeting but beautiful picture of these two women bowing down before him and grasping his feet and worshipping him, we see the beginning of that restoration, a reconciliation between people and their God, available to all who would come to the risen Jesus and humble themselves and clasp his feet in reverence and receive the forgiveness and the restoration and the life that he alone can offer. Those who would come to him and admit that he is right, that we are guilty before God, that we would accept that he has been raised, and who would believe that we are now restored, reconciled to God. And yet while our restoration and reconciliation with God is primary, the resurrection also offers restoration and reconciliation with others. See, the resurrection ushers in a new way of life for all who would trust in Jesus. The resurrection, it makes enemies friends. It brings those who are isolated into God's family, into his body, the church. And the resurrection means that those who die in Christ will be seen again. The Queen finished her address earlier this week with these moving words. I quote them. "We should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, better days will return, and we will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again." Now, as a Christian woman, I imagine that as she said those words, Queen Elizabeth was thinking not only of COVID-19 and the restoration which will happen in our communities and our world when all of this is over, but she was also looking further ahead. For they are true words of our future in Jesus, of the future for all who trust in the resurrected Christ. A better day is coming. The day when Jesus, the raised one, returns. And on that day, well, we will be with our family. We will be with all who trust in Jesus, the living, and those who have died trusting in their Lord. We will meet again. Do you see, the resurrection offers restoration with God and with others. Into a place of isolation, it steps in and offers hope and reconciliation. Lastly, the resurrection invites investigation, which leads to proclamation. I've been a minister for quite a long time, and as you could imagine, I've spent a bit of time looking at the accounts of the resurrection over the years. But this week, I noticed something new. Well, new for me, at least. It's always been there in the Bible. Come with me to verse 6 and listen again to what the angel said. "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples." I saw this parallel that is there. Come and see, go and tell. Two commands are strong. See at the end of verse 6 and say, tell at the beginning of verse 7. Come close, the angel says. Look at the tomb. Investigate the resurrection. And then go and speak. Tell of what has happened, of what you have seen. Now, this world is full at the moment of misinformation, about the virus, about how it's transmitted, about everything to do with what is going on. So many people have got opinions. So much misinformation and false information is out there. And those who are wise go to reputable sources. We go to the Ministry of Health or to the government. We go to actual doctors who have seen and investigated, studied and learned, who have treated this virus. And the Christian faith is no different. There's always been plenty of misinformation around about what it means to be a Christian, or people who would say that Jesus is just a fairy tale or that religion is only for the weak. But wise people still go to reputable sources. They go and investigate. To echo the angel's words, they come and see. Now you may be watching this and you've never done that. You may be in church, have been in church for many, many years, but you've never actually looked into Jesus himself, whether he did actually rise from the dead, whether he is good, whether his words are true, whether or not you can trust him. This Easter Sunday, I invite you, in the angel's words, in God's words, come and see. Come and see. The Christian faith is not scared of investigation or question. It's public and open. Come and see. Pick up a gospel, one of the four accounts of Jesus, written by an eyewitness. Connect with us, Facebook, email, in response to this service. Connect with a Christian that you know. Send them an email. Give them a call. But even better, connect with Jesus himself. Come to him. Ask him in prayer that he would make himself known to you, that you might come and meet him. And for those of us who have, Christians, who have come and seen, who have beholden the empty tomb, who have met the risen Jesus, go and tell. That was the command of the angel. Come and see, and then go and tell. Christian, speak gently, speak graciously, speak honestly, yet speak confidently. Because God is at work in you and through you, using your words, that a world in desperate need of a resurrected Savior, one who can defeat death and offer hope for the future. We live in a world in desperate need of that news. And this news, it changes lives. It's changed yours, hasn't it? It's certainly changed mine. This news changes everything, for death does not get the final say. It means joy in spite of fear, this news. It offers restoration instead of isolation, this news. Come and see. Come and see Jesus and then go and tell that he has been raised from the dead. Let us pray together. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice that Jesus is alive, that he not only bore our sin on the cross, but that he overcame our death on this Easter Sunday. We praise you that you have reconciled us to yourself, that you offer us joy in spite of our fear, and that you invite us to come and see, to investigate. Lord, we pray that we might do that, knowing your joy, rejoicing in our reconciliation and restoration with you and with others, and that we who have met the risen Jesus, that we might boldly go and tell of the one who offers hope, the one who offers the only hope for this world. We pray all of these things in his strong name. Amen.